Children, my approach will be to break it into two parts. The first will deal with husbands and wives, and then the second with parents and children. Now then, the natural reaction to the word duty evokes in humans a sense of something unpleasant, something that needs doing, that maybe is forced upon us. But actually, there is no need to react in that way to that word, duty. The word duty is actually a biblical word which signifies a debt we owe, something we must do without fail, an obligation we have, an obligation that we are under. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The word duty is in there. And Luke 17, verse 10 says, "So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Duty is a requirement by the Lord himself in every aspect of life, and even in that of marriage and the family. The duties then of husbands, wives, children, and the parents are God-given requirements or duties. We have obligations towards God, and so we are to do these duties without fail. So then, let us look at part one. And part one divided up into the duties or obligations of husbands and wives. I'll start with the obligations of the husband in part one. And so husbands are given the obligation to love their wives. And that's in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. They are to love their wives as Christ has loved the church. And in considering the obligations of the husband and wife, I want us to think about their meaning, the extent, and what they look like in practice. And so the husband is to love his wife. That means that he has to give himself completely to his wife without reserve in every aspect of their lives together. To love one's wife is to completely set yourself in a position where your wife is the fondest of all persons, save Christ. To love your wife is to find your uttermost satisfaction in her after Christ. It is to desire no one else and to make her your exclusive delight in as far as human relations are concerned. You are to make her the closest person in as far as human relations are concerned. And the extent of this love is told to us in those words, just as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself sacrificially to the church. So husbands must love their wives in a sacrificial way. They must be willing to give up their being and doing for a wife's sake. They must be willing to die for her, both metaphorically and actually. And this love of the wife, the husband must love his wife before parents, siblings, and even children. The husband must not let anyone come between himself and his love for his wife. Love for wives must be given the highest priority. Remember Christ. He placed his bride even above his own life and rights. He gave up his rights, as it were. He came from heaven. He humbled himself and he went to Calvary's cross for his bride. He was willing to give up all, as it were. He was willing to be humbled for the sake of his bride. And so the husband must yield himself up, give up his own life and rights for the sake of his wife. That is love, dear friends. If Christ, who is the beloved Son of God, so loved the church that he wasn't only willing to be forsaken by his Father, but he was willing to bear the filth of his bride, the sinfulness of his wife. Who are we not to love our wives? Why should husbands, who owe everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, not yield up themselves in love for their wives? But dear friends, how does this look like in practice? What should a husband do? What should he be in expressing his love to his wife? Well, the Savior shows us what we must be and do in expressing our love to our wives. The Savior chose his wife, as it were. His bride was chosen from eternity past. Our love for our wives starts with a choice. You choose to love that person. You see, love is not a feeling. It's not just about feelings. It's not just about being romantic. It's about a choice to give yourself to another. It's about communication of that love. Continuous communication of that love. Christ communicated his love to the church. Husbands must communicate their love to their wives. Daily, wake up in the morning, I love you. During the day, I love you. Send her notes to tell her you love her. We have no excuses now. We've all got, or I hope so, we do. We have phones. We can send text messages or WhatsApp messages. I love you during the day. Before you sleep, I love you. Communicate continually with your wife. Tell her of the love you have for her. Tell her that you love her more than anyone else except for the Savior. But love listens as well. Listen to your wife. Listen to her needs. Listen to the things she cares about. Listen sometimes when you think You're too tired to listen. Listen to all that she has to say. Let her pour out her heart to you. Let her find you, her closest companion, to whom she can pour out her heart and tell you everything about her. Don't let a day go by without asking, "How was your day?" And sit and listen to her day. And then only then can you tell her about your day. Show affection. Hug her. Touch her. Many wives have complained that their husbands don't touch them. Touch her. Look into her eyes and spend time being with her. Embrace her. Give her a massage. Be with her always, as often as you can be. Love must be expressed even when you don't feel like. Remember, love is a choice. At any one time that you say or think about love, think of it as a choice rather than a feeling. You must love when you're tired. You must love when you're not feeling all right in yourself. Love then must be expressed even to our wives. But we move on. There must be kindness. Our love must be demonstrated in kindness. Kindness to your spouse. You want to desire the utmost good for her. You want her to be generously benefited by your being and doing. You want to be intimate with her. This means that one does their utmost to think, to say, to act, to intend the very best for your wife. Kindness to your wife must be foremost, and her pleasure a constant daily goal. Remember, you have only one life and one wife. Cherish her. Show her generosity. Let her find her joy in you. You find her joy in her. And this includes giving her your body to enjoy. And the only time the scriptures tell us that you must cease to withhold your body from your spouse is when you're fasting and praying. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. You must have a great desire to be intimate with your wife at all levels of your relationship, physical and otherwise. If you do not give of yourself to your wife, the scriptures say that you're robbing her, you're defrauding her. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. God has given you that wife in order that you might provide for her in terms of love and kindness and intimacy. A man who will not give his wife his body is foolish, because they are allowing the devil to enter into their home. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. But we move on, dear friends, to the duties or obligations of wives. The first obligation a wife has to her husband is submission. This means that she recognizes her husband as the head of the family, and so she subordinates herself and all that she has to her husband. This, by the way, doesn't mean that she's less intelligent or less mature. Many times wives are more intelligent than the husband, and sometimes more mature than the husband, but you still have to submit yourself to God-given authority. The husband was given by the Lord. He is to be head of the house. And please note, submission is only to your husband, not to other men, your husband alone. We know this is not a popular view, but God has spoken, and we follow what God has said. And some might even tell you, this is old-fashioned. Why bother? Some might even say, but submission is oppression. The Bible says, submit. And so you must, as unto the Lord, the scriptures say, you're doing it for the sake of the Lord. The wife is not necessarily submitting to the husband for his sake. She submits herself to the husband. In fact, she submits herself to the Lord first, and in doing that, she also subsequently submits to her husband. She doesn't do it because the husband likes it or wants it. She does it because the Lord has commanded her to submit. And so she submits to her husband. And by the way, husbands, a well-loved wife will find it easy to submit, to yield up herself. In practice, wives, must not take it upon themselves to be making decisions about various aspects of life, which church to go to, how to raise the children on their own and just inform the husband. Intelligent and forthright women especially must be careful. Marriage is not about competition. As a wife, you are to be a helpmeet for your husband. You are to submit to him. Obviously, only in the Lord, if you're asked to do something that is contrary to the scriptures, then you mustn't submit in that situation. But another obligation of the wife is to reverence her husband. This is to treat him with respect and honor. She must see to it, make efforts, and make sure that her mind is focused on reverencing the husband. She must rebuke children and others who would want to bring down her husband. She must not be dismissive of her husband, and she mustn't spread any gossip, or she mustn't gossip to others about her husband. She mustn't treat her husband as though he were nothing. Another obligation is to be a keeper at home. This means to take care of domestic or household affairs. She is the guardian of all the home. And this role is very important, or obligation. It's an important and honorable obligation. People think that the most successful women are found in the boardroom, in the corridors of universities. But no, the most successful and hardworking women are found in homes. Why? Because those homes are the cradle of societies. Without the women keeping homes, there would be no individual, no community, no church, no world to speak about. Women are key to society and the church. Women hold the most important and honorable job in the whole world when they keep home. Note that keeping home doesn't mean staying at home and doing nothing else. If a woman is able to have a job outside her home, she should make sure that she can still keep home. If she can juggle the two, that's a good thing. But a woman's primary role or obligation is to keep the home, make sure that's well ordered. It's from the home that society becomes either ordered or disordered. Let's move on to part two in the remaining time. Parents' obligations towards children and children's obligations towards parents. The scriptures tell us that fathers are to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6, verse 4, and in Proverbs 22, verse 6, they are to train up the children in the way that they should go. Parents have an obligation to nurture, to mold by training their children, teach them how to behave and how not to behave. This involves providing a framework from which children can be brought up. This starts when children are born. Yes, the tiny baby needs to be trained to know times for feeding, trained to know times for sleeping, trained even as they grow older. It's too late by the time children are 6, 7. It's rather late to be nurturing them and admonishing them. You need to start right from the beginning, the get-go. Speak to them knowledge, give them counsel as fathers, and mothers as well are involved. The Lord requires us to teach our children. Children are given graciously by the Lord. Children belong to the Lord and are given to us to be responsible for them. We must give an account to the Lord as to how we brought up our children. On a practical daily basis, teach them to be patient. Teach them to wait for things, to be still. Some parents will complain, "I don't know what's wrong with my child. He's ever restless." Well, Did you teach them to be still? Did you teach them to be patient? Teach them to be honest? Give them pocket money regularly, and maybe send them to buy something and see what they do with the money? Teach them to be truthful. Teach them humility. Pray for them as well. Teach them stewardship. Be a godly example to the children. Children are very perceptive. They will know if you are being a hypocrite or not. Your example will be powerful to these children as they grow up. The greatest obligation you have as a parent to your children is to pray earnestly for their early conversion. If they're old enough to sin, they're old enough to seek after God in repentance and faith. Cultivate spiritual conversations with your children at every opportunity, in the car, on a walk. Speak to them about eternal matters. Turn every family discussion into a moment of spiritual discourse and application. Don't waste your interactions with children on frivolous things, things that don't matter. Make it a family habit to point every occasion onto eternal matters. Show your children that spiritual matters take priority. What do you do on the Sabbath day? Do you turn on the entertainment, television, and so on? Teach them that Sunday is exclusive for the worship of God. If you don't teach them that the Sabbath day is important, they will learn to worship idols and they won't take God seriously. Carry out a regular detoxification of your children. Hear them out. What have they learned that day, maybe from school? And try and correct any wrong teaching they have received from school, maybe from their peers and others, maybe things they've picked up from the internet or even from the television. But finally, obligations of children. Children are instructed to obey their parents. Ephesians 6, verse 1. This means to yield to their parents by placing themselves willingly under their authority. As long as you're in the home of your parent, you must obey them. And this is in the Lord only if they are commanding you those things that are lawful, that are in accordance with the scriptures. And so, parents, children are to obey parents. And children also, finally, are to obey, to honor and obey. Ephesians 6, verse 2, honor their parents, to give due reverence to your parents. Make sure that you have a dignified view of your parents. Whether your parents are alive or dead, hold them in high, or guard their reputation and hold them in high esteem. Your parents may have lived dishonorable lives, but you're not to dishonor them. If they dishonored their lives, don't dishonor yours by dishonoring them. Children are told in the scriptures, and we're told that this commandment comes with a promise that if you honor your parents, then your life will be long, will be a good life. The Lord will bless your life. you will find that the Lord will bring about in your life those things that are useful to you, those things that are helpful, great blessings even for you as an individual. And so as we come to a close, finally, the Lord would have us love our wives for husbands. If we're wives, the Lord would have us submit to our husbands. If we're parents, the Lord would have us nurture these children, admonish them, train them. And if we're children, the scriptures would have us to honor and obey our parents. This is God's requirement. And if we obey God's requirements, all will be well with us and our families, and the Lord will be pleased with us and will watch over us all the days of our lives. May it be that we may obey the word of God and do his bidding this day. Amen.